are supposed to learn from this. History is supposed to learn. That's a figure of speech because history isn't a person. The people of history, you see, it's a figure of association. We have much to talk about with figures of speech, especially when we get to the book of Revelation. World rulers are supposed to look at this example in the scriptures, Nebuchadnezzar, and say, as soon as you're walking with deep satisfaction upon your parapet and you think that nothing can topple you and you say, is not this the great city which I have built? That's fine. But then you say, for the might of my glory, for the might, the esteem of my honor, that's when you have a problem. When you want a bust cast in bronze set on the cupola of a Capitol building, then you have problems. Hi, everybody. This is Martin Zender. We are in Secrets in Daniel. And the reason these are secrets, still secrets, is because not many people know them. I am bringing them to you. I did not invent them. I am disclosing these secrets. I am a messenger of truth. I didn't invent the truth. I'm passing it on to you. Now, on a personal matter, I am going to make an analogy between what happened to Nebuchadnezzar and what happened to Jesus Christ on the cross. As far as I'm aware, this has never been attempted on air, and let alone being videotaped here on the Zender Cam. It's a good thing that I'm becoming full of myself and that I do love myself, because were this not the case, there is no way I would have the sheer audacious confidence to attempt something like this, to compare Nebuchadnezzar's experience to our Lord's experience on the cross and the result it brought subsequently to the king himself and that it brings to us today. Let us learn from the secrets in the book of Daniel. That is my passion for you. I'm learning as I go here. I'm in the same boat as you. That's the bottom line, folks. I'm a learner. And again, I'm using this wonderful book written by A.E. Nock, Adolf Ernst. It's not Ernest. It's Adolf Ernst, I think. Is it Ernest? We have a discrepancy. I'll check into that. Nock, K-N-O-C-H. He's the man who translated the Concordant version with an actual scientific method, which, as I told you earlier, brings out much truth that you would not have if you're using your standard English versions, which translate with no method. They just think, I think that the word Hades means hell here, and it means grave here. I think the word Ion means eternity here. Nah, here, let's say it's an age. Here, let's say it means never. All right? The man had a system, and he also wrote an excellent book called Concordant Studies in the Book of Daniel. It's a tough read. It's scholarly. That's why I'm here, to put a happy face on it and to riff off of it and to give you my interpretations and my comments and show you some of the color in between. I'm the color man. You got the play-by-play guy in a sportscast, then you got the color man. I'm giving you the nice nuances, some detail that you're not going to get. But order the book at studyshelf.com, studyshelf.com. That's where I go when I want to enrich my mind with great scriptural learning from the minds of great men of God who have gone before. Studyshelf.com, run by my friend Clyde Pilkington, and we have a reprint. No, we have the reprint of The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Don't know if that's available yet, so I might not be at liberty to talk about that, but I do know Concordant Studies in the Book of Daniel. Read it for yourself. Follow along with me. I'm hopping and skipping over. I'm on page 118 at present. I've been kind of freelancing. That's what I do. But follow along, read the book. It's a tough read, but you will be dangerous at Bible studies after you read Concordant Studies in the Book of Daniel by A.E. Nock. It's German. You have to go like that with the name. Nock. Verse 28. Again, repeating this from yesterday, refresh us. We're going to get to the details of King Nebuchadnezzar's humiliation. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar when, at the end of 12 months, you remember the prophecy, the dream came 12 months before. But see, when God tarries in his judgment, people get lackadaisical and they get lethargic and they forget about it. God doesn't. At the end of 12 months, he's going about on the royal palace of Babylon, on the palace. He's on the roof, surveying his territory, responding as a king to all this, that is, all that was in front of him, by saying, "Is not this Babylon the great that I have built to be the house of the kingdom within the might of my safeguarding walls for the esteem of my honor?" While the matter is still in the mouth of the king, that is, he has not finished his sentence, a voice falls from the heavens, "To you are they saying," quote, "King Nebuchadnezzar," they, who are they? I think it's the rousers. Now remember, there's the divine perspective of things and the earthly perspective. Now, the divine perspective is often invisible. These spiritual beings called rousers who go about and poke people and prod them. They did it to the apostle Paul, who was Saul on the road to Damascus. They poked Saul the king back in Israel's day. They poked King David, and they poke you and poke you. This is a messenger for Israel who often needs poked. That's the divine viewpoint. This is what's coming from above, but it's manifested on earth by different means. Nebuchadnezzar, he just may have had a headache one day. It may have come upon, but in this case, I got to admit to you, this is a voice. A voice came from heaven. This is very unusual because we don't hear voices today, but the same sort of rousing goes on today. You don't always hear it in a voice. To you, they are saying, "King Nebuchadnezzar, the kingdom passes away from you. From mortals are they shoving you." Now, the they might have been the rousers, and yet they might have been working through human agencies. Some of Nebuchadnezzar's guards or his intimate circle, his inner circle, might have noticed that he was having some sort of mental issues, and they escorted him out of the building. That might have been the rousers, absolutely, the prison, the guards, the palace guards, the posse, relatively. Out he goes, and he's being shoved rudely. "And with the animals of the field is your abode. Herbage will they feed you as oxen. Thus 7 seasons shall pass over you till you shall know that the Supreme is in authority in the kingdom of mortals, and to whom he will, he is giving it." In the same hour, verse 32, the declaration gathered on Nebuchadnezzar, "From mortals is he shoved." It happened then. The declaration was made, and then the act was enacted. Herbage is he eating? He's out in the field, grazing on grass, eating plants and stuff. It seems bizarre, but it happened. "And the night mist of the heaven is streaking his frame till his hair increased as vulture's feathers, and his claws are as those of birds." If you don't feel pity and compassion and love for this man, then your heart is stone. There before the grace of God go you. Some of you may be even in this position now and not know it. I don't think there are many of you in this position because you're members of the body of Christ. You recognize that you died with Christ. But there are people, movie stars, rock stars, celebrities of every kind, who are riding high on the crest of popularity, who live for the next rush of recognition. And they are seconds away, perhaps, from a terrible humbling. It is gracious of God to bring this humbling. I would not pray to God to prevent this for anyone. But I would cry with the person who has been humbled. I would cry with the person. I'll never forget when Reeves, what's his name? The guy that was riding the horse and fell and broke his back. What a horrible thing. The guy who played Superman. I can't think of his name. Reeves, you know the guy, right? Anyway. To be on the top of the world 1 minute and on top of a horse 1 minute. This is analogous of Paul as well. And then to be in a position where you can't even move. It can happen to any of us in an instant for different reasons. We walk by the grace of God. But for the world, for those who have not come to recognize their total reliance on God, it is going to take something like this. It's going to happen macrocosmically to the world in the book of Revelation. Job was proud. You may think he was perfect before his humbling, but he had that element of pride. He had the element of pride in that he was being blessed because he was doing well, because he was remembering his prayers, because he was praying for his family, for his loved ones, and he was humbled. And he said at the end of it, God, before I had heard of you, now I see you. And his friends, for all their crazy advice and stupidities, they gathered with him and they sat quietly for, I think, 3 days. Ah, that's pregnant with meaning too. 3 days quiet with Job, commiserating with him. Let us be lowered with those who are lowered. Let us feel for this king, Nebuchadnezzar, who, even though he may have been an arrogant bastard, now he's out naked in the field, streaked with dew, eating herbage, eating grass with the cows. I would be in that field weeping with him. I'd be praying to God for his restoration, because I want all to come to what I've come to what God has brought me to. Each one of us have been broken in our own ways, at our own times, in our own seasons. We've had that dew streak. And I see now I'm not going to get to the analogy, the earth-shattering analogy, but I'm going to do that tomorrow. We've come to that realization that we're not it. There is a God and I'm not him. The leaders of the world, those who are something in this world, the chiefs of this eon, as Paul puts it, are being discarded. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 or chapter 7, they're going by the wayside, and they're not going to go by the wayside without a personal experience. This happens to everybody personally. It does happen on a national scale, but while it's happening on a national scale, it's happening on a personal scale. And I pray for the Amish, even though I sometimes make fun of them. I always make fun of them. I pray for Joel Osteen. I pray for Billy Graham, for those who have this reckoning coming. They are still on the parapet. They've not come to post-Calvary truth. They've not recognized the death of the old self because they're still trying to polish the outside. To all of these people, and I warn anyone out there of religious repute, of a reputation, somebody who is struggling hard to maintain their position in this world, beware. If you've not come, come now when the shoving is gentle. Come now before you're strutting on your parapet. Come now before you're shoved from mortals and taken down a hard way, taken down a difficult path, knocked off a horse, one way or the other. The voice of God is gentle now. It comes through the words of the evangel. This is the evangel I teach and others teach. It's the evangel that Christ has accomplished everything on your behalf. The death, the entombment, and the resurrection of Christ does not need to be added to by anything. Come to that realization of what Christ did for you, and you will come to where Nebuchadnezzar was in that field. Tomorrow, the field as a parable of what happened to Jesus Christ on the cross.